Are you wearing the grave clothes of your former life? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Jesus did not just simply come to give you life. He came to give you abundant life. He doesn't want you wearing the grave clothes of the old life. You see, so many of us still are wearing the grave clothes of the old life, and yet we have truly been saved. The old loves, the old lusts, the old learning, the old lies, they all stay there because we still have the grave clothes of the old life. But Jesus says, the truth shall make you what? Free!
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the timeless teaching of pastor and author Adrian Rogers. The book of John shares Jesus' glorious miracles with great messages and spiritual truths. And yet today, many of us are alive, but simply existing, fighting to live while living to fight. But Jesus came so that we may have life abundantly. In part one of today's message, we learned that the only way to live abundantly is to first experience life in Christ. In John chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, revealing that he is God's answer to man's death. If you have your Bible, turn now to John chapter 11. Once again, here's Adrian Rogers.
I want to tell you that Jesus is the only reason that we live. As a matter of fact, he came that we might live. He said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that you might have life. He's the only reason I live. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So, most folks today don't have life. They have existence. They're fighting to live while they're living to fight. They're drawing their breath and drawing their salary, and one day is turning into another. They have existence, but they don't have life. They've got it all backward. Let's take the word life, L-I-F-E, and think about it a little bit, because life is the way we live. L-I-V-E is the way we live. Now, if you take live and spell it backward, what is it? E-V-I-L, evil. Just get it backward. And after you've lived, if you haven't lived for Jesus, if you've lived for some other reason, when your life is over, when it has been lived, just take lived and spell it backward, D-E-V-I-L, devil. Now, folks, Jesus has come that you might have life. Satan has come to rob you of life. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. We're not fools for following the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been studying together seven miracles in the Gospel of John. And these are miracles with a message. These are signs with a significance. They are literal, actual miracles. They are miracles of glory that have in them messages of grace. Now, the miracles happened, but the miracles happened to teach us greater lessons, to teach us great eternal spiritual truth. Now, what we're studying today is the miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Well, did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead just in order to raise Lazarus from the dead? No, Lazarus died again. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead to give us an illustration of the greater spiritual truth of eternal life, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's the greatest truth. That's the truth we need to learn. Jesus is raising a man from the dead. That man's name is Lazarus. Well, he doesn't raise everybody from the dead in this life. Of course not. But what is the message in the miracle? Jesus is God's answer to man's death. I am the resurrection and the life. Miracles of glory that speak of greater miracles of grace. That's the reason I told you, friend, believe in miracles, but trust in Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These miracles are not to have us put our faith in miracles. Our faith is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to see today what we're going to learn from this wonderful miracle. If you want full life, wonderful life, the abundant life that we've been talking about, let me give you some steps.
Step number one, I must experience life in Jesus. I must experience life in Jesus. Now look, if you will, in verse 14 of this chapter. Jesus talks about His friend Lazarus. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is what? Dead. Lazarus is dead. Now folks, Lazarus had a king-size problem. He's dead. Now there might have been many wonderful things you could say about Lazarus. You might say that Lazarus has a nice suntan. You might say that Lazarus is wearing a nice suit. You might say that Lazarus is surrounded by many friends. You might say that Lazarus is lying on a nice couch. No matter how many things might be right about him, there's nothing really right about him because there's one thing very wrong about him. He is dead. Now, you might be telling me all the wonderful things about you today, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus, what do they matter if you're dead? You see, there are many folks who are listening to me right now who are dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. Do you know any folks who are dead while they live? Memphis is full of them. New York City is full of them. Tokyo is full of them. They are dead while they live. And yet there are other people that we call dead who are not dead at all. You say, my mama's dead, my daddy's dead. Not if they know Jesus. Not if they know Jesus. They're just kicking up gold dust on the streets of glory. They're not dead. Jesus said, he that lives and believes in me shall never die. And so many people that we call dead are not dead at all because they have eternal life. Do you understand? I hope you understand that we never really die when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you experience life in Christ? How? Suppose we had a dead person up here on this platform today and we're going to raise the dead. Well, let me ask you, what do social engineers say that men need today? I'm talking about what do the people in the university say? What do the sociologists, the psychologists, and the psychiatrists say that people need today? Let me give you, they're the four E's. They say people need example, people need encouragement, people need environment, and people need education. That's what they say. People need example, they need encouragement, they need environment, and they need education. Now folks, we're spending billions of dollars on those things to try to do those things. Now suppose we had a dead man up here today and we're trying to raise a dead man today. How are we going to raise that dead man? I'll tell you one way we could raise that dead man. See if you think this will work. By giving him an example. Show him how a live man lives. Do you think an example is going to raise a dead man? Well, you say, no, that won't do it. All right, what are we going to do? We're going to encourage him. Here he is. And so I say, hey, man, you can do it. Come on now. Come on. Attaboy. Attaboy. Am I going to encourage a dead man to life? Well, you say, environment, that's the answer. Let's take that dead man and leave him in this room full of living people. And if you put him in the right environment, that'll give him life. No, it won't. Let me tell you something. Environment is not the answer, and the people of this world can never learn that. I think that we ought to do all we can do to help people have a good environment, but I want to remind you of something. Adam and Eve got in trouble in the Garden of Eden. You can't have a better environment than that. You think environment is the answer? It cannot be the answer. Well, you say, I'll tell you what the answer is. Get a medical book. Let's educate this man. Let's give him 20 lessons on life. He's dead. And so many people think, well, the answer to this world's problem is education. No, it's Jesus. Salvation does not come by learning lessons from the life of Christ, but by receiving life from the death of Christ. But those four E's are not the answer to a dead man. I need life from the Lord Jesus. That's why Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave to tell us what it's all about. Now, how does Jesus raise Lazarus? Jesus just says to him,
in verse 43, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" No pleading, no argument, just, "Lazarus, come forth." How do you raise a dead man spiritually? The same way that Jesus raised Lazarus, by His Word. All right, now listen, He's already said in John chapter 6 and verse 43, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The word quickeneth means gives life. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We are born again by the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And the word quick means zoon. So where do we get zoology from? Alive and powerful, energes, with power. It's the Word of God. How do you raise a dead man? The Word of God. That's the reason the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, we are to be holding forth the Word of life. I must experience life in Christ. Now write this down. I must exercise liberty through Christ. Now look, if you will, in verse 44. Lazarus comes out of the grave, and the Bible says, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Can you imagine that scene? Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." I can imagine every eye is fixed on that gaping hole. And then Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out of there." Suppose you'd been there. You're looking at the mouth of that tomb. And after a while, there appears in the door of that tomb a figure. He has life, but he doesn't have liberty. He's bound. He's gagged. He can't walk. He can't work. He can't speak. He can't see. Yet he has life. And Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." Now Lazarus at this stage is like so many people I know. They have been saved, but they're not living in victory. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they've not yet been to Pentecost for power. Somehow they have bogged down between Calvary and Pentecost. They have life, but they don't have liberty. Now, would you have wanted to have Lazarus home for dinner at this particular stage? I mean, he may have life, he may be raised, but his grave clothes stink. The stench of death is on him. Those grave clothes are relics of his old life. And our Lord says, "Take that off of him. Unwrap him. Loose him and let him go." Now, listen, Jesus did not just simply come to give you life. He came to give you abundant life. He doesn't want you wearing the grave clothes of the old life. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you" what? "Free." And John 8 verse 36, "If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed." You see, so many of us still are wearing the grave clothes of the old life, and yet we have truly been saved. The old loves, the old lusts, the old learning, the old lies, they all stay there because we still have the grave clothes of the old life. But Jesus says, "Set him free." That's the reason we need the church. Do you know what the ministry of the church is? Number one, to call forth the dead. Number two, to unwrap the saints. Now write down number three. Experience life in Jesus. I must exercise liberty through Jesus. I must enjoy love for Jesus. Turn to chapter 12 now and read verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now notice verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Don't you like that? Life, liberty, and now fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone from the tomb to the table. He's sitting up there at the table now, no more grave clothes. There he is face to face with Jesus. Wouldn't you love to have a meal with Jesus? I mean, wouldn't you love to have fellowship with him? Well, you can have. That's what we have every time we come to the Lord's table. That's a meal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you read the Bible, so many times Jesus was inviting his disciples to eat with him. He would say, come and dine. Friend, it is our legacy to fellowship with one another. It is our legacy to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Come and dine. Jesus said, I will have supper with him and he with me. And now here's Lazarus sitting at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not a penalty that you pay in order to get to heaven. I'd want to be a Christian if there were no heaven. There is a heaven. But just to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, to love the Lord Jesus and to have him love me back. Here's the fourth thing I want you to write down, and this is the final one. I must express loyalty to Jesus. Now in chapter 12, continue to read here in verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. That is, who was there? Lazarus was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, that is, by reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Here's the man with the life, the liberty, and the love, and now he's expressing loyalty. He's standing up for Jesus. He's giving testimonies for Jesus, and he is dangerous to Satan's kingdom. I mean, people are getting saved. They're coming to Jesus. They're being saved. Not that more dead people are getting raised. That's not the purpose of it. People are believing on Jesus. People are getting saved. They're getting eternal life. And the Pharisees there, in whom the milk of human kindness had curdled, they said, we got to do something about this guy. Shut him up. Put him to death. Now, you talk about a joke. That is a joke. They're going to kill Lazarus. I want to ask you a question. Do you think Lazarus was at least a bit worried about that? You think about it. You think about it. Do you think that death held any more terrors for this man named Lazarus? Think about it. I mean, folks, he is not intimidated at all by the fact that they might put him to death. You see, Satan is the sinister minister of fear, and the Bible says that through the fear of death, he keeps people in bondage. Lazarus is no longer afraid of death. They're going to kill him. Ha! He already knows now that he has the Lord of life. They may destroy his body, but all they'll do is just hasten him on to heaven. He knows that now. No man is ready to live until he's no longer afraid to die. And when we're no longer afraid to die, then we live as this man Lazarus lived. And when we live our lives for Jesus, when we have life and liberty and love and fellowship and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are experiencing the life that He's talking about when He said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, let me just give you the bottom line of the whole thing. You've got problems. You're not saved. You say, what is the answer to my problem? Well, it's not a what, it's who. His name is Jesus. He is God's answer to your problem. All of these seven problems summed up in the big one called death. You remember the story of the four men who brought this paralyzed man to Jesus? Let's just use a little imagination. Here are these four men, and they're saying to their friend who's totally paralyzed, we're going to bring you to Jesus. Get on this stretcher. He says to the man on this corner of the stretcher, but look, Jesus can't do anything for me. I am totally paralyzed. But the man says, I had blind eyes. He opened my blind eyes. He said, that's just your eyes. I'm paralyzed all over. The man on this corner says, but wait a minute. I had a withered arm, and Jesus strengthened my arm. He says, yes, but that's just your arm. I'm paralyzed all over. Here's another man. I was deaf. I couldn't hear. And Jesus opened my deaf ears. He says, yes, but that's just your ears. I'm paralyzed all over. Now, let's just imagine a man on this corner of the stretcher says, my name is Lazarus. Hello? I don't care what your problem is, friend. The one who can raise the dead is the answer to your problem. You don't have a problem too big for Him. Believe in miracles, okay, but trust in Jesus. He did not come just simply to open blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears, to straighten withered arms, even to raise physical bodies temporarily from the grave. He came to save souls. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, beyond miracles and on to Jesus. If you want the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that word believe means trust. Trust Him. Trust Him. Don't just believe intellectually. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. Pray this way. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. I am dead in trespasses and sin. I need more than encouragement. I need more than education. I need more than example. I need more than environment. I need life. Lord, I need You. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Right now, I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin. I open my heart. I receive You. Lord, You're strong, but I'm weak. So begin now to make me the person You want me to be. I need You, Lord Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you've prayed to receive Jesus just now, let us celebrate with you. Go to our Find God's Love page at the website, and you'll discover more insights about your newfound faith. You'll also see an opportunity to take the next steps in your walk with God. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Find God's Love. Welcome to His forever family. We can't wait to hear from you today. Do you have the abundant life Jesus promised those who live in Him? Consider your spiritual condition today and step into a life of liberty, love, and loyalty to Christ. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope you'll tune in next time for more from Adrian Rogers right here on Love Worth Finding. We were so encouraged by this listener's answer on a recent survey we conducted. Please keep Pastor Rogers' messages coming in all ways possible to win the lost and build up the body of Christ. Well, here at Love Worth Finding, we are passionate about helping believers cultivate a vibrant faith in Jesus. And to thank you for your gift of support right now, we want to send you a copy of Believe in Miracles, But Trust in Jesus. The intention of every miracle in the book of John that we're studying was to point people to the miracle worker Himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In this book, Pastor Rogers shows us how these miracles hold great relevance to our lives today. Request a copy when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or give online at lwf.org /radio. And thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.